about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, what are we doing?
Doing this.
Where did you get that?
I stole it from my brother. We're gonna smoke this right now. We're gonna get high on pot.
I never did that before.
Me neither.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I talked to your mother. She's fed up. She says she thinks you're having drugs. I told her, of course you are. She doesn't know what to do anymore. I do. From now on, it's you and me. That's right, no more free ride. No more vagrant, loose behavior. No more smoking your joints, popping your reds and your greenies, what have you. No more disgracing your family, no more.
I feel like I'm on your podcast. That first part everybody fast forwards through.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So who should you turn to fund your lunch?
Roll another one.
Cocaine!
Just like the other one.
I'm a chihuahua, isn't it?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I want to destroy them.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Hello, I'm a disc jockey.
Roll. Roll another one.
Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
Just like the other one.
I will go till you tell me to stop.
This one seems to be about.
I'm going to kill your mother.
I don't have another cent.
I make people laugh for 50 years. I am put on earth to make people laugh.
But don't bogart that joint.
My vagina is so dry.
Just pass it around.
That's not brown rice.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Chinese fire drill.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
It provides estrogens to help rebuild vaginal tissue and makes intercourse more comfortable.
Our feature presentation.
What does our show?
That's what our show's all about. That's one of the great side effects of the Kevin and Bean program.
Wasn't aware of that.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Friday the 11th of July.
7-Eleven today, by the way. Don't forget your free Slurpees. Most 7-Elevens between, I think, 11 a.m., I think is when they usually kick that off, until 7 p.m. You can go in and get yourself a free small Slurpee.
Ah, thank God you reminded me.
In honor of 7-Eleven today. I know, right?
Thank you, Bean.
Because those cost like 49 cents.
But they're free today.
Right. No, I hear you. I'm just pointing out the savings.
They are, they're doing something. This isn't what I wanted to talk about, but since you did mention the date. They're doing something different this year, though. In addition to Free Slurpee Day, they are extending the celebration, which, by the way, is the anniversary of the 7-Eleven, first 7-Eleven store being founded back in Dallas.
Don't care.
So next week, every day next week, they have another free item that you can go in and get. And by the way, Kevin, you do care.
All right.
Because some of the items include Twix ice cream.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Grandma's cookies.
That's pretty good.
A bunch of other stuff.
So, all right, yeah, I'm in.
You should definitely check your 7-Eleven website, or do like I do and just use the 7-Eleven app, and you'll be up to date with all the stuff that's going on.
Who's got the 7-Eleven app on their phone?
That guy.
Nobody means reasonable person, I think.
What a bizarre thing to have.
But then I also subscribe to Convenience Store Weekly. So, all right, here's the story before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show here on a Friday morning. There are people who are really into these super, super hot and spicy foods, right?
Yes.
I don't get that. Do you guys get that?
No, I don't either.
I don't like it, but I think it releases endorphins.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at some point there are lots of people who, you know, just like I'm not into sitting down and eating the 72-ounce steak in 10 minutes
right.
to get it for free. I mean, there are people who are just attracted to food challenges, and I think some of these really spicy foods are like that. There is a burger in Britain two journalists from the Argus newspaper there were doing a story on it because it had showed up on one of the top 10 burger restaurants in the country list on TripAdvisor. So they said, hey, I'm going to go write a story about this hot, hot burger that they have here. After taking one bite, the first journalist decided the burger was too spicy to eat anymore. He felt physically okay after he drank lots of milk, which is what you always do to kind of diffuse that super hot taste in your mouth.
Okay.
The other journalist took a bite and minutes later suffered severe stomach pains, which increased. He lost the feeling in his hands.
Oh,
his
my God.
Legs were shaking. His eyes rolled back into his head. Within 2 hours, the first journalist was suffering similar problems, and both ended up in the hospital as a result of trying this burger.
What did they put in it?
This has
nitroglycerin.
This is a pepper. I don't know too much about this hot, hot sauce. It's about a $7 burger. It contains a sauce made in India, reportedly using about 5,000. Here's, I'm just going to read what it says here, and someone will understand this. Using about 5,000 kilos of piri piri chilies concentrated into 1 kilo. Apparently, the sauce measures between 7 and 9 million on what's called the Scoville scale. Now, I've heard about that. That's a measurement of how hot spicy mm-hmm. food is. Just to compare it to something, pepper spray, well, first of all, Tabasco sauce is between 2,500 and 5,000 on this scale. Pepper spray is between 500,000 and 5 million. This is between 7 and 9 million on the Scoville scale. So this is way, way, way hotter than pepper spray.
And they knew that before they ate it?
Yes, they did.
Well, that's on them then.
Well, I mean, at least in their defense, they were doing a newspaper article on it. They weren't eating it because, you know, for no reason, at least.
I mean, I know people who are like, that's not hot enough. Whatever it is, it's not hot enough.
Well, they haven't tried this burger.
Who would think that this would be amazing, but it sounds like then they also end up in the hospital.
Yes, at least these two did. But obviously, they still serve this thing on the menu, so there must be other customers who go in there and eat it and like it, right? Or they wouldn't continue.
You must sign something before
yes,
you eat it.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
I think if my dinner ends me up in the hospital, there's got to be plenty of other stuff you can eat.
If I have to sign a waiver, I'm out.
Right. Well, not with everything, but in this particular case.
A waiver drawn up by owner Nick Garambidella has to be signed by customers releasing the staff of the restaurant from any responsibility of its effects. We do try and take a certain level of responsibility, he said. We don't sell the burger to anyone under 18. If someone's been drinking, we don't let them have it. I spend about as much time convincing people not to try one as I do selling them. I warn people it will ruin their weekend. Why does an item like that exist?
Does it ruin their weekend because it's just as hot coming out as it was coming
well,
out?
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to think about that part of the story, Lisa.
Thanks for bringing that back up.
I'm just thinking.
When you do end up in the hospital, that's not what you want when you go out for a restaurant.
Generally, no.
No, I don't think so as well.
So there you go.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
With all due respect, you're an idiot.
Chris Weidman.
Yes.
Middleweight champ of the UFC.
Awesome.
Just beat Lyoto Machida. Machida,
he's one of my very favorite UFC guys out of the ring. I like him very much.
He's very cool, yeah. We're going to talk to him on today's show. We have Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA and when these guys are going to make a goddamn decision.
You know, I feel we'll talk to Matt about this. I feel bad for LeBron because people are so jacked waiting for this. You know, hundreds of people showing up just standing outside his house. It's not his fault. There was no word yesterday that the announcement was coming any minute now, but people just gravitated there because they want it so badly, and now they're starting to think he's a jerk for taking so long to announce it.
By the way, not to mention the millions of fans in the cities that he might go to.
Yeah.
Right.
Cleveland
right.
being one of them. So anyway, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about that. We are going to talk about Donald Sterling and what a wonderful human being he is.
Yeah, this trial is fascinating.
He's crazy.
He's really a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Good guy. Nice man.
He needs a burger.
Movie beat, because it's Friday, and you remarried somebody that you divorced. That's on you, people.
Yeah.
Does that happen and it goes south again?
No, generally, it sticks the second time. That's what I've heard.
I saw a list yesterday that shocked me how many people have done that.
Really?
You would think that if you marry someone and then divorce them, that's it, right?
Well, yeah, you've gone through enough negativity that you really can't imagine going back there.
As Kevin might ask, aren't there other people in the world you haven't already married
right.
that are available?
I mean,
if all of those are out of the picture, then okay, maybe she's the last woman on earth. Maybe that's what you go for.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But it happens, and it's happened again recently.
We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. That's next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Before I give you the look at the beat, how about I give you just something?
Okay.
For the early risers. You know, we give a lot of stuff on the show, but sometimes I feel like the people who are up at the ass crack of dawn get the short shrift.
Yeah, and they're the most miserable.
They are, and they deserve something more than anybody. Because they're the ones like us who just have to get, hit that snooze one more time. Please, God, just take me now. I can't get out of this bed. It's horrible getting up in the morning.
Yes, it is.
And so, to make it worth your while a little bit, I want to give you some passes to our special K-Rock screening of The Purge Anarchy. Yeah, that's right. The Purge. You know what happens once a year. Last time, it was a family inside their house debating whether to let someone in or not. By the way, spoiler alert, don't let anybody in! The Purge!
Stupid teenage girl.
The Purge!
But he's cute!
It's the Purge.
It's the Purge!
What if you're a young couple driving in your car in the middle of the Purge night and your car breaks down? Then what do you do?
Back
what
up! I'm not in my car on Purge night.
That's what I'm saying. Don't open your doors. Don't drive around on Purge night, people! How many Purge nights have we all had to go through that before we learn our lessons?
We've only had one so far.
Oh. But it's not a real thing? Doesn't
no.
happen every
oh,
year?
Oh, no. It's just a movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're giving the passes away to our screenings happening July the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16. Movie is in theaters on the 18th, but you'll have seen it early if you call me right now. 1-800-520-1067. Five lucky listeners will get a pair of passes to see The Purge Anarchy. You guys were talking about a celebrity relationship just a minute ago with a story about Pam Anderson and her second-time husband, Rick Solomon, calling it quits again. You know, when you think of celebrity relationships, you don't think they're going to last very long. And here's one I'm always surprised when I hear about, because they're never in the press much, or the tabloids. You don't hear much about them. Then every once in a while, they'll check in, and they're just like the best couple in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's Frida Pinto and Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire. Mm. That couple is still together.
No kidding.
They met on the set of that show. They've been together since 2008, and they're still very much in love and together. Us Weekly magazine talked to them recently, and they said they're still very happy, in love, but they argue in the kitchen because neither of them are very good cooks. And that is a pain in the ass.
I saw a photo the other day of exactly the type of couple you're talking about, Ralph, where I knew they were together but had forgotten about them because they're so under the radar. 6 years in, Ryan Adams, the singer, still married to Mandy Moore.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they seem
another
to
couple you
successful.
Don't hear much about.
Successful,
but they seem to be fine.
Isn't it funny that 6, 7, 8 years, you go, wow, how successful is
that?
They've
been together forever. Give them a gold watch.
That's crazy.
And while we're talking about Hollywood relationships, a new one. This is they could start their own super race. You know, Sofia Vergara.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was single when she had. Dumped that guy who tried to get Barack Obama to hold up his product at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Sure.
Now dating, according to many sources, Joe Manganiola.
Oh,
really?
From True Blood.
True Blood, yeah.
Nice.
Those are two specimens of each of the the sexes right there, those two.
Yeah.
He's
the dog, right?
He's the wolf, man.
Yeah.
Wolf. Like the perfect dude, just ripped and great looking and talented, and she's just the perfect woman, specimen, giant talent.
So if they need a couple to repopulate the earth
pick
after
them, right?
War, that's yes. That's the deal, right?
Pick
there.
Them. Plus the child would be half wolf.
That's true.
What a great thing it's to alive. Have once the nuclear war takes us all out. More relationship knows Justin Theroux, the fiance of Jennifer Aniston. Currently living in the lap of luxury thanks to his rich fiance, but life wasn't always so good for the actor. He's also the star of Leftovers, you can see on HBO. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a good show that is.
He's great.
He was a struggling actor in the 1990s, and things got so tough for him, he had to dumpster dive in order to eat. In order to feed himself, he was going into dumpsters looking for food.
Remember our intern that dumpster dived?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a loon,
first
of all. This guy just sounds desperate. But he said it wasn't as disgusting as it sounds. Wasn't this the guy, by the way, who had artwork of, like, diseased mouths and stuff in his house, and Jennifer made him take it all down. Like his entire room was like pictures of mouths with canker sores and cancer and stuff like that.
That's not art.
What's wrong with that? I have that in my house, Bean said. He said it wasn't as disgusting as it sounds because he was lucky enough, he claims, during the 90s to be poor during a period when people threw away a lot of great stuff. I guess if you're poor in a time of abundance for other people,
sure.
You can get good stuff in the garbage. And apparently he did. And Kesha. Kesha's in the news this morning. Kesha.
She sure was crazy.
I was starting to have hope for Kesha because she went to rehab.
Right.
And then she came out seemingly different. She took the dollar sign out of her name, and she stopped drawing on her face, and she started
last time I saw her, she looked pretty cleaned up, pretty normal looking.
Started wearing real clothing, and apparently was just an all-around good citizen. Well, she has announced that she wants to start a cat cult.
A cat cult?
Yes.
Well,
for people who either want to play all the time with cats or play with cat toys.
Wait, people play with cat toys without the cat?
Apparently.
What?
Potential members to her cult will have to participate in a strict hazing and eat glitter mixed with kitty litter.
What's happening right now?
I have no idea, but this is Ketch's new idea.
When and where does Lisa have to report?
Yes, Lisa will be out in the parking lot eating glitter and kitty litter. Dave, the King of Mexico, will be out there, too.
He will.
This new freaking T-shirt.
Yes, he will.
Paw night long. That's right. He's a cat with a red solo cup on my T-shirt. That's right. Kitty cats are awesome.
I blame this on you, by the way, Ralph.
Why is it my fault?
I blame it on you. Because I was sitting in there after you had left yesterday, and I was sitting in there with Dave, and he's like, I ordered a whole bunch of new shirts for Ralph. Because he hates them so much.
T-shirts.
I agree. Yep, I want to punch him right in the face.
He is the Judah Freelander of the Kevin and Bean Show. Remember on 30 Rock? He used to wear those goofy trucker hats
with hilarious sayings
on them.
Yeah.
That's Dave now. He just thinks he's such a cut-up with his wacky T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't blame it on you. I blame it on us. We're giving him this response without actually following through and beating him up.
That's what we should be doing.
Yes.
Yes.
Empty threats.
First mock,
right?
Then beat.
Correct.
Not my fault.
It is your fault.
100%.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Rosenbaum played Lex Luthor famously on Smallville, 42 years old today. Actor Justin Chambers is 44. Host John Henson, my brother from another mother. From Wipeout, of course, 47 years old. Actress Lisa Rinna celebrates her 51st. And guitarist Richie Sambora celebrates his 55th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
B520 AFRO.
Shut your face.
K-Rock.
All right. All right.
What are you doing?
What's happening? This is that particular time was, I don't know, Chip. I miss beer mug.
Chip, we don't need speed bumps in the studio, all right? Kevin has enough trouble without you getting in his way.
I just said the words, I miss beer mug.
I know. Yeah.
That's got to hurt. That's got to cut you.
That is serious.
Right.
Oh, man. You should be. Hey, it's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk Planet of the Apes, and we'll also talk Boyhood, which, boy, right?
Yes.
Right.
Looks
right?
Great.
Right.
First, though, Saturday night, it was all about Mr. Chris Weidman, one of our very favorite UFC fighters. He is, once again, the undisputed middleweight champion of the UFC. What a great fight, and what a fascinating guy. Hit it, Steve.
The undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Chris Weidman.
Chris, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. And now I'm ready to fight after that announcement.
Does that ever get old hearing that about yourself? I can't imagine it does.
Not really. That was pretty cool. I don't know. Not too many places put that out for me. I appreciate that.
Oh, no worries.
You know, I'm so impressed that you're even on the phone. After seeing you Saturday night and how many times Shogun hit you, I think I would still be in bed. I would still be trying to lift my head. And here you are just out conducting business like a regular person.
Yeah, I guess I recovered all right. The first morning when I woke up the day after the fight, I was having that issue. I couldn't pick up my head off the freaking pillow. I'm like, what happened to me? But that next day, they had a UFC event. They had BJ Penn versus Frankie Edgar the next day, and I was over there in Vegas out and about. The only thing that really bothered me was my ankle was a little dinged up, and like my hand and stuff like that. But nothing, no serious injuries, and I feel good. I got a black eye, but that's
great. Bean did say Shogun. He meant Lyoto Machida. I wanted to ask you, Chris, about Lyoto Machida, as he has been one of my all-time favorite fighters. Did you look up to him that way? Like some of the guys you're fighting now, you must have watched before and gone, I love that guy.
Oh yeah, he was definitely one of my favorites. You know, when I got to this sport, it was him and Anderson Silva were the guys that were pretty much like unbeatable and had to speak about them. And I was on the bandwagon. I was like, these guys are unbeatable. They're freaking awesome. And I think right now when I fought him, he was right in the top of his game. You know, he had the belt once before. He dropped down to middleweight. He was, you know, I think he was on such a climb. He was, he dominated the two guys before at middleweight. He's never been so ripped up and quick. So to fight a legend like that, who I think he was pretty much in his prime, was an awesome experience. And he was tougher than I even thought, to be honest with you.
You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you about a fight like this that goes all five rounds and they're all such tough rounds is, are you able to, how do you pace yourself? How do you not get, you're trying to give everything you got every round, but you know, you still have two rounds left to go, three rounds left to go, four rounds left to go. How does that work in your mind?
I don't try to pace myself. My goal is always to try to push the pace as much as possible to break him, you know. When I'm tired, I know he's going to be more tired. And that's usually my philosophy. I never think, you know, I'm always going for the finish. So I'm not even trying to go for, I'm not really anticipating going five rounds. I think in the fourth round is the round that he won. After the third round, I dominated him. He was bloated up. He looked tired. You know, I went to the fourth round to finish him. And I underestimated how much he wanted and how tough he is because I started getting careless. He started hitting me with big punches and hit some nice body kicks. And then I got tired. Then I'm like, all right. Then I knew how many rounds were left.
I was going to say, people who haven't fought have no idea how long five rounds seems. But you're not worried at all when you're trying to finish in the second and third round. You're not thinking at all, what if it goes five and I got to be on my feet and I have to be sharp?
No, because wow. I do that. You know, I do that in training. I try to kill myself in training. So, you know, I don't try to hold back. So then, when I get in the cage, you know, no matter what happens, I don't have to have that feeling of, you know, being worried about getting tired. You know, so no matter what, you're going to be tired. It's just about learning how to push yourself through those moments and be tougher than the other guy.
We are talking to the All-American himself, Mr. Chris Weidman, the UFC middleweight champion here on the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, I saw some big out-of-the-ring news from you the other day that you have signed with William Morris. What's that about? What kind of plans do you have there, Chris? Are we going to see you in the Expendables 4 or what?
Yeah, who knows what they're going to get me into. I think, you know, obviously I'm trying to align myself with, you know, the cream of the crop, and I think William Morris is the cream of the crop. And, you know, I'm only going to be in this sport for so long, and you got to give yourself as many opportunities as possible to capitalize. And I think William Morris, you know, is that has all the connections in the world. So if there's some big opportunities that come around, I'm going to get those opportunities instead of just passing by because I didn't know about it. No one knew I was interested. So we'll see what pops up because of it. But I'm very happy about it.
Talking to Chris Weidman, the middleweight UFC champ. I did want to ask you the difference between the week before the fight and now the week after the fight. It must be sweet to know you don't have to cut weight this week. You probably don't have to watch your diet much this week. What do? Do you sit around and play video games? What's the plan?
The week of the fight is definitely a stressful week. You know, I try to compartmentalize it all. You know, one day, there's always something else to think about other than the fight. But the day of the fight, I'm definitely very anxious and nervous because you don't know what's going to happen in the fight. You want to win so bad. But the week after the fight, you know, yeah, exactly. I'm cutting weight the whole week. So right now I've been eating disgustingly. I've been eating as bad as you possibly eat.
And awesome.
This morning I was forced to eat healthy again because I felt like such crap from eating so bad. So this morning I had oatmeal. Every other day, I've been just having, like, you know, sauce, steak and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup, you know, on a bagel.
Right.
So it's nice to get back to a little healthy eating because I just feel like crap, meaning terrible.
You have certainly paid your dues the last couple of years in the UFC. You're undefeated, and now, you know, you're starting to get paid for it. After the Silva fights and after this fight with Machida, I mean, you're bringing down some actual money. When are we going to read about you buying a Tiger or something, Chris? At some point, you're going to splurge, right?
I got a little dog at my house right now. My wife freaking can't stand it, so I don't know about me getting a Tiger.
Yeah, maybe that would take care of the dog problem.
What?
I said get that Tiger. It would take care of the dog problem.
Yeah, I know.
But and the wife problem, so maybe that's not what you want.
That's a good point. I might have to get a Tiger.
There you go. All right. Well, we know you got to go, but we can't let you off the hook without asking the obvious question, which was, who do you think's up next?
I hope it's Vitor Belfort. You know, I know he has, you know, he's failing these drug tests, but he's a guy I want to find another legend. You know, a big name, and he's on a tear right now. So that's another guy. That's probably the guy I want to fight.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate you taking the time today. Congratulations on the victory Saturday night, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Man, thanks for coming on the show. We always appreciate it.
Ralph, unless you've got a better idea, Kevin is going back to see Transformers 4 again. So let's get into the movie beat, shall we?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Only four new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend to choose from. One of them is in limited release and is so only made for Bean that I'm not even going to talk about it.
All right, good.
Oh, come on. Give me a hint.
That's called 7-Eleven.
No, it's called Land Ho.
No.
It's about the story of a pair of former brothers-in-laws who embark across a road trip through Iceland.
That sounds terrible.
What time is the first screening?
Starring Daniel Gleeson and Pjörgur Kristjánsdóttir.
Sure.
Those are my boys.
But here's some movies you might actually want to go see. A Long Way Down is also in limited release. Pierce Brosnan, Toni Collette, Imogen Poots, and Aaron Paul.
I don't know what this is.
Well, I'm going to talk about it.
All right.
Long Way Down, it's about four people who meet on New Year's Eve and basically form a surrogate family to help one another weather the difficulties of their lives. It is a family drama by people who really aren't in a family until they meet. Sounds interesting and compelling, and with the cast that they're offering up, I'm certainly interested. Here's some clips from the trailer of A Long Way Down.
Why wouldn't I want to throw myself off a tall building?
Are you going to be long?
What?
Maybe I should just wait.
I'll give you a shout on the way down.
Hi.
Can you guys order a pizza?
Four people.
Up on one roof, that's tactically a convention. We're in a gang.
We're not in a gang.
Here's the deal. Promise nobody kills themselves until Valentine's Day.
It's not such a ridiculous idea.
Pretty sure we're all going to live to regret this.
Sounds charming.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It does.
Does it have apes in it?
No, Kevin. There's nothing exploding.
Is it loud?
It's not loud. It's like about people brought together by circumstances who have something to share with each other.
Kevin doesn't like those movies that are all scripty. You know that.
I know. People saying words and things and acting. No. Well, then you won't like Boyhood either, Kevin. This is the movie we talked to Ethan Hawke about earlier in the week.
This looks interesting.
Looks fascinating to me. Richard Linklater's the director. The premise is simple enough. It's the life of a young man named Mason from age 5 to 18. The execution of the premise, that's what makes this special. It is a unique case where Richard Linklater brought his cast together once a year for 12 years and shot this young man growing up real time, basically. It is a story of him growing up, and we get to see him grow up while they tell the story. Interesting. L.R. Coltrane plays Mason. Patricia Arquette and Ethan Hawke are his mom and dad. Here are some clips from the trailer of Boyhood.
Hey, stop. Put the barrier.
You guys ready to have some fun?
Yeah!
All right, don't worry about it.
Wish I can use the bumpers.
You don't want the bumpers. Life doesn't give you bumpers.
We have a new student joining us today.
Hey, dude. Welcome to the sub.
Haven't you been drinking?
A little bit.
Oh.
Who do you want to be, Mason? What do you want to do?
I can't wait to see this.
That doesn't look bad.
Looks fascinating to me. And
does
right,
it have apes in it?
All right, Kevin, here's your Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I can't believe this, but a movie that looks interesting to Kevin actually looks great to me.
Ah, see? I don't always have bad taste.
Well, look, a blind squirrel, you know what they
right.
say.
Right, sure.
If you just go, loud, eventually you're going to come across a loud movie that's actually good.
And this is one of them?
This seems to be one of them,
all
indeed.
Right.
I had the great pleasure of hanging out with Matt Reeves, the director, and Gary Oldman and Kerry Russell and Andy Serkis from the cast at WonderCon this year when I presented this film in front of an audience. And, boy, this looks terrific. Not only amazing CGI and special effects, really the next generation. Matt Reeves, the director, said this is the first time they've ever taken motion capture performances and placed them in real practical sets. So as opposed to shooting everything in front of a green screen with the actor wearing a motion capture suit to get the performance like Andy Serkis does as Caesar the ape in this film, and then putting the background in behind them on green screen, they took them to actual locations like the forest and shot them in real settings, and we're able to put those performances in those real settings. It says it adds a level of realism to this film unlike anything you've ever seen before.
How do you do that? That's just magic.
It is magic. I love that. Yeah. Terrific cast. Gary Oldman, Kerry Russell, Andy Serkis, as I mentioned. Serkis returns as Caesar, who now leads a growing nation of genetically evolved apes after that virus was unleashed a decade earlier in the world. There's still a small band of human survivors who are there, and it basically becomes a story of the face-off between these two groups, both battling for survival. Who will they engage in a war? Will it determine who becomes the dominant species on Earth? Well, it's called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so I'm guessing we have a clue about that. Here are some clips from the trailer.
It was a virus created by scientists in a lab. You can't blame the apes.
Who the hell else am I going to blame?
We need to give them a chance.
Welcome, they're animals. I've seen things. I've seen the way they are. They want what we want.
No! Don't shoot!
War, it's not what you want. There must be another way.
War has already begun.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, we're not all going to die tonight.
When the apes are talking, that's bad news.
It's great news.
Yeah, it was great. This looks awesome.
And the thing I love about this film is it's not bad guys and good guys. It's not us versus them. It's not like the apes are good and the humans are bad. They're both just fighting for survival. They all want the same things. They all have families they want to raise. They all want to be able to coexist. And yet some bigotry, some hatreds will just not allow that to happen, and how do both sides cope with that? This seems to be a very thoughtful film wrapped up in this amazing summer blockbuster package, which really is more than you can ask for. So what a terrific film to kick off the weekend. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Big Data and Dangerous. It is 640.
Why is that song so good, by the way?
I can't answer that.
That's a difficult question.
Just believe it is.
So last week, I was on vacation, and I spent a few days in beautiful British Columbia. Kevin, you spend much time up there in B.C.?
I love... What's the city?
Damn. Vancouver?
Vancouver. Yeah. Shut up, Omar. You're not even supposed to be... I love Vancouver, and we were talking with Chris Carter.
I can tell how much you love it.
We were talking with Chris Carter a couple days ago, Bean, about Vancouver and us going up to visit the set of The X-Files and everything.
Right,
it's such a great city. They have great weed.
Vancouver is an amazing city, one of the greatest in North America. And then once you get outside of Vancouver, British Columbia is just beautiful. I mean, if you love nature, if you love the mountains and the trees and the streams and the lakes and all that stuff, you won't find a more beautiful place.
I feel like there's some stalling going on right now.
No, not at all. But the reason I was up there...
You have a timeshare you're trying to get us to invest in?
What's happening? The reason I was up there is I went to visit my donkey. You guys remember Happy, right? My donkey that I used to have.
He used to have cows and chickens and
sheep,
beetles,
and pigs, and goats, sheep. The whole deal, right.
And by the way, and it was a jackass, too. There's a reason they call donkeys jackasses, because Bean's donkey, which he named Happy,
yes.
Jackass. Back to you.
Why do you say that? Why do you say he was a jackass?
Well, why don't you tell us the rest of the story?
Is this the donkey that you had his balls in a jar?
Yes.
Oh, okay. As long as we're clear.
He brought the jar with the balls in it to work.
And left it there for about 10 years.
And left it in his locker for 10 years.
So the short version of this story is that Happy was 11 when we adopted him, and he had not been neutered. So we took care of that. And, yeah, I did save his testicles in a jar. But the point is that then I had him for 18 years. He was my pet. But all of the other – donkeys live a long time. They're like horses. So all of the other livestock died. So all my cows were gone. All my pigs were gone. Everybody just went off to a natural end. So Happy was all by himself and was lonely, frankly. And we didn't think it was fair to let him just be out in the pasture by himself because they're very social animals. So we did a little research, and we found a donkey refuge that's just a wonderful, wonderful organization up in British Columbia. And that's where he's been living for the last 2 years. And I still
– How busy are those people, by the way? How many years do they wait in between donations for the donkey refuge? How many people are just giving away donkeys?
They have 70 currently, Ralph.
What?
Yes.
How does that happen?
We don't have time to get into it. It's a wonderful charity. It's called Turtle Valley Donkey Refuge, but they rescue all sorts of abandoned and abused animals, and they are just salt of the earth, nicest people in the world. So Happy lives up there. I still pay for his care every month, but I had not been personally to see him.
You have too much money.
He has too much money.
Well, it's not that. I don't want to be a burden on a charity to look after my pet if I can afford to pay for him. So
well,
anyway.
I think that's awesome.
For the price of one bullet, you could have ended this all.
Wow. Wow, Ralph.
Look, that was a rough comment, but it's hard to argue with.
So I thought, hey, I'm on vacation. I got a little bit of time. It's beautiful weather for a road trip. I'm hitting the road. I'm going up to BC, and I'm going to visit my boy. So I went up to see Happy. Now, he lives, I mean, it's remote, you guys. You guys have all been to Kamloops. Everybody's been to Kamloops, right?
I have been to Kamloops.
I don't know what that is.
It's like 50 miles outside of Kamloops,
yes,
down 10 miles of dirt road, and there's this 80-acre donkey refuge, and I went to see my donkey, and I was so excited to see him because 18 years we're together. I know how happy I was. I kept thinking, how excited is Happy going to be when his man shows up? When I come to visit him.
His man shows up.
Wait a minute.
What the hell? Is he putting on lipstick?
His ass is just healed.
No, he's my donkey. I'm his person. You know what I'm talking about. It's his former owner.
I'm his man.
What the
hell? Like that.
Baby, your man's home.
his former person that used to take care of him. So I'm a little.
That went south so fast!
It really did. It's not at all where I wanted to go.
All right.
So, in my mind, I'm envisioning one of these YouTube videos like that one with the lion. Those people who came to visit their lion that they used to be with, right? And the lion jumps up and gets on their shoulders and starts licking them all over. And I'm thinking, this is going to be one of the great love stories of all time, this reunion of me with my donkey.
Here we go again. Love story.
Yeah. Man, oh man, you're creepy.
And I show up. And I walk out to the corral where Happy is. And
he must have galloped over. Do donkeys gallop?
And yes, of course they do.
Okay,
he
good.
Turns and he sees me and nothing. Nothing.
Now, nothing, do you interpret that as he had no idea who you are? Or
yes, I do.
Or you're dead to me. Was it, maybe, well, maybe it was that.
Well, when you put it that way, maybe that's what it was.
Oh, well, my man who got rid of me, oh, now he's back. F you. That's what he was thinking.
I don't know what he was thinking. And in a way, I mean, maybe this is just me rationalizing, but in a way, I guess I'm kind of glad that he wasn't like jumping up and down and excited and licking me and everything like
that's
that.
That's what you wanted.
No, I thought that's what I wanted. But in retrospect, I thought, you know what? It's actually best that he has forgotten about me and forgotten about his old life. And he's not like sitting around because they're real smart animals. He's not sitting around pining for the old days.
Freaking geniuses. NASA's got some on staff, I think.
That would be best for all of us if we were able to forget you.
No, what I'm saying is I hope that he's just so happy with in his new environment. He's got a girlfriend and he likes the new people that are looking after him. I'm thinking that maybe it's best that he has forgotten the old ways.
Well, I'm happy to announce that we do have Happy on the phone.
What?
Wait, what? You got my donkey on the phone?
Yeah,
because I wanted to find out what the reason was. Did he recognize you? Did he not recognize you?
Oh, this is fantastic. Happy. Hey, it's Daddy. How are you?
Oh.
Daddy.
Jesus Christ.
Come on. Do you call yourself Daddy to your animals?
To pets? I think it's not uncommon. Your pets.
You're not their daddy?
How you doing, Hap? What's going on, buddy?
I was fine until this phone call.
How come you never speak English to me when I'm there in person?
I don't want to speak to you in any language.
So just for clarification, though, Happy, you did turn around and see Bean, and you recognized him as your former owner/lover.
Of course I did.
Okay.
How do you forget that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would hope you wouldn't forget me. 18 years we lived together.
Did the Jews forget Hitler?
Yep. Wow. I don't think that's a fair analogy.
That's a
little Happy.
That's exactly
what it was like.
It's a little strong.
How far do I have to move away from you to get you to leave me to hell alone?
But I put you in a great place of donkey refuge.
Now just leave me be.
I wanted to visit and say hi.
Yeah. You know when you get a divorce for somebody? You know when your ex-wife just stopping by and said, oh, I want to see how you're doing with the new wife and kids. Let me sit on your couch for a while.
Yeah.
Get the F out of my life.
It had been 2 years. I just wanted to say hi and see with my own eyes that you were getting good care. That's all.
beautiful years that I was away. And then I have to relive the horror of seeing you come up that dirt road. And, oh, happy, happy, your man's here, your man's here.
Daddy's here.
My butt clenched just hearing your voice.
Oh, no.
It was just a drive-by to say hello, pat you on the head, just take a picture, rub
I
you a little bit,
been
and move
drive-by.
On.
I'm sorry, rub you a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, you're disgusting.
What's
you're a disgusting human. He drove by me, and he rolled the window down and said, you're pretty.
Not what happened.
F you.
You have a girlfriend?
Ugh. He's mad I have a girlfriend. That's the problem.
Is that what it is?
Because Daddy wants to be the only man.
It's not like that. Come on.
Get off the phone, you pervert.
Come see Daddy, Happy.
Oh,
Daddy's here.
Your man is back.
Daddy's here. Your man is back.
Oh, Happy.
Hey, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money radio show right after the top of the hour about day 11 of the LeBron James free agency. And Kevin, you brought up a great question yesterday. Why not the Lakers?
Why not the Lakers?
Why not the Lakers?
They mention the Lakers every time they do the story, but only as like one of
the
teams.
Well, we know it won't be the Lakers.
I mean, they're one of the teams that are trying to get him, and I just thought, being a Laker fan, that we've been trained our whole lives, if there's the best player in the world out there, we're going to get him.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that there's not more talk of him going to the Lakers.
Because it certainly seems to be Miami or Cleveland.
Maybe your arrogance is misplaced as a Lakers fan.
That's not arrogance. It's confidence in a team that does the best they
can. We'll always get the best.
You at least expect that team to go after the best.
Yeah. We'll see what Matt's got to say about it coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, the rough is the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
I want to give some folks a heads up. There are still some tickets left, just a couple left. For the show Saturday night at 8 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are performing our comic book Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, issue number two, live on stage with sound effects and impressions and voice actors and people from the audience coming up and playing with us. We're going to have a good time. Come on out, 8 o'clock Saturday night. Everybody gets an autographed issue of the comic book as well.
It sounds like fun, Rob.
Yeah, it's a fun time. We did it with the first issue, and it was a blast, and people really enjoyed it, so we're going to go back and do it for each issue. So Saturday night at 8, we're going to be doing that. You can get your tickets at improv.com. That's where we're going to do it there on Melrose. So come on and see us. It's going to be a good time. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian and creative genius Kanye West tied the knot recently in their $2 million wedding. But apparently, let it be so, word coming out that the two don't have all that much in common, and they're not getting along all that well. Oh, come on, baby. Come on.
What?
Get the pool out and see who's going to win.
So how long has it been?
Since the wedding? I don't know. It doesn't say
a month?
Exactly.
Maybe a month?
Yeah. I think a month.
A
month and a half.
First month and a half
of their marriage, it says right here. Rumor has it they're already living separate lives and have spent just 9 total days together in their first month and a half of marriage.
But I thought Kanye West has been obsessed with Kim Kardashian for like 5 years,
right.
She's the most beautiful woman in the world,
right.
And she's all he needs.
Right.
And
what is he obsessed about? What did he obsess about with her?
Himself when he's with her?
And her sex tape.
Yeah, true.
That was
That's
thing.
True.
That was the thing that really hooked him. He would watch that tape even when he was with other women. That was his fantasy. What happens when the video starts talking back to you?
Yeah.
What happens then?
And the video has a really hideous mother.
Rumor has it
they
had a terrible time in Ireland during their first honeymoon.
Excellent.
And I remember hearing that. They split it. They had this castle, and they left, and then they wouldn't pay the tab.
What?
When they left, yeah, it was just a nightmare. Then they tried to go to Mexico. They stayed at Joe Francis's place in Mexico. And all she wanted to do was lay by the pool, and apparently Kanye West hates just laying by the pool, and he says she doesn't want to experience new things, be creative, and so...
I'm going to tell you something you're not going to want to hear.
Go.
I just looked at the pool for how long this marriage will last,
yeah.
And Lisa has the lowest guess, and it's a year and a half.
That's the lowest one?
Yes. The rest of us are all between that and like 5 years.
Well, because I think we figured publicly they would never split up before
that. Yeah, that's probably true. Even if they go live separate lives,
yeah.
They may not announce
that's just
a divorce.
Too embarrassing.
They're miserable, so he goes on the road. He doesn't have to deal with it. I don't know, but she's got a whole year and a half for it to fall apart, and she still wins.
Speaking of Lisa May.
Yes.
You know her love of the Broadway musical.
Sure.
It's been a weird time for Broadway musicals because you see all kinds of musicals now. You see what they call these jukebox musicals, which is an entire musical based around the catalog of a particular popular artist like ABBA or Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. You've seen Irish folk music mixed with Broadway with a show Once. And, of course, there's classic Broadway show teams. It seems like any kind of music can be adapted to a Broadway musical and make it successful.
except for rap.
Oh, really?
The Tupac Shakur Broadway musical, which sounds funny even when you say that words, those words together, Holler If You Hear Me, not doing well at all. Since the show began its previews on June the 2nd, it has never taken in more than $200,000 a week. It costs about $1 million a week just to keep a show on the stage. Producers say it's difficult. They've got a 22-person cast and a 9-member orchestra to pay. The producer now says he wants to raise $5 million outside of the show just to keep it going.
I think haven't the people spoken about wanting to keep it going?
I believe they have. The producer, Eric Gold, however, says his fear is if it fails, it might be difficult to get another rap Broadway musical on Broadway.
Yes, it might.
It might, yes. Well,
but
maybe that's because people, those two audiences don't necessarily mix.
That's possible, but it's also possible this isn't very good.
That's also very possible.
So if somebody came along and did a great one, who knows?
Yeah. And more music news. Garth Brooks famously has been one of the last artists not to offer their music as a digital download through iTunes. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Beatles were a big holdout, and now Garth Brooks still. You can't download
even,
his stuff
even
on
Metallica
iTunes.
And AC/DC and all those others that used to say no, at least they're all on board now, but Garth still no.
Here's why Garth is a genius. He made a big announcement yesterday. His entire back catalog will be now available in the digital world, but just the full albums, not individual tunes. You'll have to download an album if you want to hear his stuff. And will only be available through his website.
Ah.
Pretty smart.
So if he's not giving up that percentage to iTunes.
Nope. You want Garth Brooks music, you got to log on to garthbrooks.com, and you can download to your heart's content, but he gets to keep all the money.
And not, not individual tracks.
He's popular enough, he can do it.
He sure can.
I would think so.
Yeah.
You guys know he is the third best-selling recording artist in U.S. history.
No, I didn't know that.
He's number three.
Did not know that.
He's more than Michael Jackson or Madonna or anyone else you're thinking of except the Beatles and Elvis. They're one and two, and Garth Brooks is number three.
You know, I'm not a fan of the country music.
Right.
But even me and my great disdain for the genre, I like a lot of Garth Brooks stuff.
Yeah,
I think
he's
a pretty talented guy.
This seems like it could also be... Some of them rock songs,
But he's real talented, and I've never seen him live, but everything I've heard said he's a great live performer, and his music is really well produced, so.
Country music sucks.
Well, there's that, too, sure. It's no Red Solo Cup, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthday is guitarist Richie Sambora is 55 years old today. Actress Lisa Rinna turns 51. John Henson, host of Wipeout, he is 47 years old today. Justin Chambers turns 44. And Michael Rosenbaum, who famously played Lex Luthor in the Smallville TV series. He's 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Foo Fighters on the way. Also, that great band Congos and Coldplay with Avicii in just a moment here on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. Matt Money Smith on the phone from the Petrus and Money Radio Show. This might be, am I wrong, Money, the most exciting NBA free agency ever?
It's crazy. I mean, that's for sure. It doesn't have a TV show with that squirrely Jim Gray hosting it.
Yeah, true.
But look, it's LeBron. That's why. I mean, it happened in 2010, and it's happening again because he is worth so much more than the amount of money that a franchise can pay him. $20.1 million is probably worth, I don't know, four times that. So teams freak out because, you know, that's what it means to their franchise.
Everybody has been talking about this, and everybody's been talking about how it's going to happen in the next couple of days. You know, at the end of last week, over the weekend, and then at the beginning of this week, by Wednesday or Thursday for sure. You know,
now, wait a minute. Wait, when you say everybody.
Well, I'm
like,
saying a lot
like
of the press.
Kathy Lee and Hoda are talking about
this? No. No, a lot of the press have been saying that. Why is it taking so long?
Yeah, why are we in day 11 at this point?
Because he's torn. I think that's what it is. He wants to go back home. You know, I mean, he goes, look, the guy lives in Biscayne Bay. He's got like a 90-foot yacht and a 10,000-square-foot oceanfront home, and he goes to Akron for the summers. That's how much that guy likes Ohio. So clearly, you know, he misses home. He's got children that are of age that he probably wants to have around his friends' kids and his relatives, and that's tearing at him. But how do you leave Miami for Cleveland? I'm sure he loves it there. Dwayne Wade is his bestest, super coolest friend in the world, and he doesn't want to leave him hanging. So I think it legitimately is a really tough decision for the guy.
Does it come down to just those teams? Is that the common wisdom now? It's either Miami or Cleveland.
Yeah, it's either stay, because legitimately, he and Dwayne are really, really tight. And I think that's kind of what's picking at him, is that he's going to be leaving him hanging, even though Wade's body is betraying him. And it looks like that's going to be the one liability in Miami that's going to hold them back, is the fact that guy's going to make $15 million a year and isn't worth half that the way his knees and body are behaving. So you know, there's that issue, and then there's the whole he hates the owner of the Cavs.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that because so much was made after the decision last time, you know, when LeBron went to Miami and Dan Gilbert put that super nasty letter up about LeBron that he just took down this week. Have they gotten a room together face-to-face to kind of make peace?
That I don't know. I don't know. I imagine we would have heard something, you know, anything, if he had found a way to sneak his way to Las Vegas and sit with LeBron. LeBron has not been to Cleveland, so that hasn't happened. You know, they say that Gilbert has not been to Miami before LeBron went to Vegas for his clinic. Because it makes perfect sense that a guy from Cleveland who plays in Miami would host his clinic in Vegas.
Sure.
So that hasn't happened. But what we, you know, I think kind of what everybody does know is that letter, you know, chapped his ass something big time. And
understandably, by the way, he gave 7 years of his life to Cleveland. Although it was an awkward exit, he clearly had his heart in the right place in the city of Cleveland.
And I think that's, you know, that's why it's imperative that Gilbert, if you want. And by the way, for Laker fans that are cheering for LeBron to go back to Cleveland, you don't want that to happen. Gilbert's a bad dude. He is, you know, by all accounts, he's the guy that spearheaded the you cannot trade Chris Paul to the Los Angeles Lakers sort of movement.
Oh, right, really?
Yes, that's kind of that's the word. That was the guy that really kicked and screamed and rallied all these young owners that had paid $500 million for their franchises to ensure that didn't happen. So just if you're trying to figure out where you want to plant your flag, if you are a Laker fan, then you certainly want to plant it in probably the Miami camp because Gilbert is no ally of yours. So just to put that out there.
Last question on LeBron James. The Lakers are always mentioned in every report. Why not?
That's the sad reality of what the Lakers are now. You know, I mean, it's, and I hate saying it because I have a lot of friends over there, but I mean, this team, when they were armed with money, you know, teams that had free agents were terrified. I mean, they were just legitimately terrified.
Right.
And because they knew their stars were going to LA. You know, now they have $40 million and nobody wants it. And, you know, you don't know the exact reason why. It could be because, you know, there's no head coach. They fired a guy 5 games into a season. The way they treated Mike D'Antoni, the fact that they've been trying to trade Powell, who's, you know, one of the most liked guys around the league every single year, the way they've done him. And, I mean, you know, the number one reason is guys just don't like Kobe. They don't want to play with him. You know, he does not endear himself to other stars. You know, he's the ultimate alpha dog. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday, and I got a lot of hate on it. And I said, when you've got, you know, Powell, it's one thing, fine. LeBron doesn't want to come to L.A. He wants to go home to Cleveland, or he wants to stay in Miami. That's fine. You know, Carmelo wants the extra $30 million from New York. That's fine. But when you have guys like Steve Blake, who has to uproot his family now and move them to Portland, even though he knew the Lakers wanted to re-sign him because he doesn't want to be here. When you have Pau Gasol, who's lived here for 8 or 6 years, and he's going to pack his things up and move somewhere else
because
he doesn't want to be here, that's a different deal. I mean, when guys are now going to leave, even though the Lakers want to give them money, I mean, that really
speaks
to one of two things that, you know, sadly, since Dr. Buss has passed on, this franchise isn't the same, or they really don't like Kobe. I mean, they really don't like him.
Now, let me ask you my last LeBron question for you. Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show here on K-Rock. And that is, 4 years in a row, the Heat have been to the finals. LeBron still wants to win. Can he not continue to win in Miami?
Well, you know, it goes back to that Dwayne Wade point. Is, you know, they have no money. You know, they signed, they're trying to convince LeBron to come back, you know, because they signed Josh McRoberts and Danny Granger, you know, and that's going to be the, I guess, the big supporting cast guys that push him over the top this year that could last year. But it goes back to Dwayne Wade, you know, and the fact that he's on the wrong side of 30, and, you know, they gave him 28 games of rest last year, and he still fell apart in the finals. Chris Bosh is on the wrong side of 30. He wants a max deal, you know, so I think he looks at it and then looks at Cleveland and says, okay, Kyrie Irving is just entering his prime. He's probably one of the 5 best point guards in the NBA. They've got this kid, Andrew Wiggins. It looks like he is going to be legitimately the real deal.
Right.
You know, and a lot of young players that are, you know, at that 25, 26-year-old age that LeBron probably says, yeah, they've been a mess, but who's been their leader? You know, who's been there to guide these guys? If they get in line behind me, we might be able to dominate the Eastern Conference for the next 5 years as they enter, you know, that 26 to 31 range of their career.
Those of you that don't follow the NBA, the team that has your contract, so for example, Miami for LeBron James, can pay him more than any other team in the NBA. That's just the way it works. If you stay where you are, you can get more money. That brings me to Carmelo Anthony. Is he going to stay in New York? Might he come to the Lakers? What do you think is going to happen with that?
that nobody knows. You know, that seemed like it was done, settled, and because he's 30 years old and he wanted that extra $33 million. You know, he's not going to get another contract. Like, he will never make that $33 million on the back end. You know, when he's 35 years old, the kind of shape that he's in, he's not LeBron. You know, LeBron, you and I could envision him playing until he's 40.
Yeah, agreed.
I see that just the way he's built.
Agreed.
Carmelo's not like that. You know, so to walk away from that fifth year and that extra $29 million is, not to mention the salary increases, you know, as well. So that's a lot of money, and I think that's why everyone just assumed he'd go back to New York. But the fact that he hasn't committed yet, maybe, you know, that fifth year, because that's just to make a confusing situation even more confusing. That's the difference, is those teams that they stay with can pay them an extra year. They can give them a five-year contract instead of a four. So it's not like it's the same term and it's 30
right.
million more. They can give them one extra year. But, you know, when that one extra year is when you're 35 going on 36,
yeah,
you're not going to find anybody to pay you $30 million when you're 35 going on 36. So legitimate, I guess, you know, you could argue that, yeah, that is lost money.
So you think Carmelo most likely stays in New York, and you think LeBron might go to Cleveland?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think LeBron wants to go to Cleveland. I think he wants to, and he's trying to figure out if he can reconcile a relationship with Dan Gilbert, their owner. And if he can get over that hump, then I don't think there's any question. He really wants to go home.
Wasn't it crazy seeing 200 people standing out in front of his house just with no word that it was coming down any second or anything like that, just to go and hang out because they're so excited for him to maybe come back?
And I think that probably speaks to the kind of person I am, that I so desperately wanted him to make the announcement yesterday that he was staying in Miami.
Like, to watch those people pack up their stuff and walk away?
And I was just there for, you know, I did Dave and games for football, and I've been to Cleveland a couple of times for Browns games, and just knowing the character of that city and just how they just expect to get kicked in the head whenever possible.
Right.
Just to see it, oh, would make me so happy.
Why are you a bad man, Matt? Why do you like pain?
How dare you, Bean? You would love it more than I would.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
All right, we're out of time. We'll have to leave it there. This is a developing story. By the way, it's all rumors because Kobe and his people aren't saying – excuse me, Kobe. LeBron and his people aren't saying anything, but now we're expecting to hear something before he gets on a plane to go to Brazil down for the World Cup final, right? That's what they're saying. Is it any day now, right?
Hey, look, kids, bust out your dictionary and thesaurus and look up the words rampant speculation and conjecture.
Yes. Yeah, we're all making it up. You're right. All right, the Petros Money Radio Show airs on Fox Sports Radio, AM 570, weekday afternoons. Matt, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for the time today.
Anytime, guys.
Hey, congratulations, and thanks so much for listening for Ryan Sifik, from Huntington Beach. He just won what we're giving away this week on K-Rock, a full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks. That is a sweet deal. For details and another chance to win, why don't you head on over to krock.com.
Robin Thicke's a little pathetic, I got to tell you.
He's really turning out to be a weenie.
What is happening
Isn't
with him?
Isn't this weird? Because a year ago, you know, on the strength of that Blurred Lines, the best-selling song of 2013, he was on top of the world, wasn't he?
Well, it sure seemed like it.
He was a mega star. I don't know what happened to make things go so far south so fast.
So his wife left him, and he has spent every second since trying to get her back. And not just privately. He'll go on stage and talk about her and write songs about her and talk about her some more.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, if I was a fan of his, I would go, hey, how about some music and you get her back on your own time?
Well, he took care of the music. He does have a new album out where every single song is about how much he misses his wife. The album is called Paula, which is his wife's name.
And you know how many copies that it sold in England?
How many?
Just to give you something to compare it to, Blurred Lines sold almost 26,000 copies. This one, Paula, sold 530.
You're talking about first week sales, yeah.
First week sales in England, yeah. Here it was 25,000 instead of almost 200,000.
Yeah. And do you think that what's going on here is that people are turned off by his pathetic attempts to win his wife back, and now it's creepy and it's not fun to listen to or dance to his music anymore?
Probably. Like this song.
I gotta get a go, get a go, get a go, get a bad. I gotta treat her right, whoa, I gotta cherish her for life.
Well, that doesn't sound terrible to me.
Right, but if every song is about that, don't you go, hey, dude.
It doesn't have the Pharrell magic touch, which is what he had on Blurred Lines. Well, we wanted to find out what's going on with Robin Thicke. I mean, things have started going south. He loses his wife. He had all that controversy over twerking with Miley. Then he had that that Reddit AMA last week where people were just writing in just horrible questions to him. It's almost like he's a little bit of a joke, and that can't be fun for Robin Thicke after being on Top of the World last year. And he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Let's see if we can figure out what's going on with our man, Robin.
Robin?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a bad time?
No, it's a good time.
A good time?
But sounds like you're super, super sad today.
No, it's just it's the usual.
This is every day for you is like this?
Yeah.
So how's it going with trying to win Paula back? What's been her response to you going on every TV show on the dial begging for her to return to you?
No word yet. We got to keep this phone call short because I want to keep this line open because she might be calling.
Okay, she calls.
She might be calling.
But, Robin, don't you think it? I mean, you've been split up for like a year. Don't you think she's had opportunities to come back if she wants to?
Maybe she just didn't know I want her back.
I think everyone knows you want her.
I gotta get her back. Get her back. Get her back.
There are blind deaf kids who are tired of hearing about you trying to get your wife back.
Well, listen, Paula, it's one of those situations where, I mean, I wrote the album, and I really think she's going to listen to it, and I think she's going to change her mind.
You think so?
Especially after I, do this interview on the Paula and Paula show.
The what?
No, it's Kevin and Bean. This is Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
That's what I said.
You said Paula and Paula.
Yeah, it sounded like you were saying Paula a lot.
That's ridiculous.
Sure,
that's why. So I'm just glad people love the album and they're buying it.
No one's buying it.
The story is no one's buying it.
Well, I'm just waiting for the Australia numbers to come in. I think we're going to do really well there because I got a good fan base there, and I think they're going to boost sales a lot.
I got bad news for you. Less than 50 copies sold in Australia last week. Less than 50.
I don't think anyone wants to hear this.
Well, it's like this, Paula. I think that...
Kevin and Bean.
That's what I said.
Okay.
I think that people want to hear real music from the heart.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, like you guys, Paula and Paula, you don't play my music, but...
Kevin and Bean.
Your traffic girl there, Paula, she probably...
Lisa.
Lisa.
She probably likes it.
Do you like Robin Thicke?
It's... No.
Not really.
It's just, look, here. Will you take some advice from us,
Go
Robin?
Go ahead, Paula. Tell me, give me some advice.
It's Kevin and Bean here. It's just, it's creepy. Your audience is predominantly women, and they're turned off by somebody who has crossed that line from being romantic to being a stalker. Believe me, I know. Oh, no!
What?
I missed.
Oh!
We shouldn't really talk about our plan for the cats while Lisa's on vacation while she's still here to hear about it.
Wait a minute.
Look, she's got to know. It's like telling the kid,
It's time.
Either the cats are going to go to a farm.
Right, in heaven. Right.
Or when she gets back, there's going to be a lower cat population.
Here's the thing. At our radio station, in the parking lot on the asphalt, live feral cats.
Yes.
Wild cats that are not domesticated. They're not anyone's pets.
Herds of them.
There aren't herds.
They're reproducing herds. Like rabbits. It's
no,
crazy.
No, they're fixed.
And Lisa continues to feed them
every
day.
For the past decade now.
For the past 10 years she's been feeding
cats.
Yes.
When she goes out of town, she leaves food and tasks somebody here with it.
Yeah, she gives somebody else the job.
Right.
Chip kindly said she would do it. Mm. I have asked her several times if she doesn't want to, that I would find someone else. And she always says, no, that's okay. I'll do it. Do
Here's
you
the thing. Chip, are you to blame for this?
Are you too nice to say no? Is that what it is?
You're not happy. You just do it because.
I know she's not happy.
You're too nice to say no, and you're afraid of your bosses.
Well, then, Lisa, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll take care of it.
I know how these people that I work with here take care of it, so I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Take care of it, Bean Rooster style.
Right, that's what I was thinking you meant.
So, you guys deal with this a lot more than I do because you actually have to wade through cats to get to the front door.
Yes.
But what's the procedure supposed to be like if you have feral animals living at a work site? I mean, aren't they supposed to – don't you call animal control and have them rounded up and taken away?
No, they'll just put them down. We've actually gone to the trouble of having them fixed. And the wisdom now is that you go ahead and feed them. They're not going to reproduce.
You actually caught them. At one point, you had them in a container where they could have been driven away.
The one that I had fixed actually got adopted by someone. But, yes, someone did
Nothing
fix
makes
them.
A better pet than a feral cat.
That's true.
Well, this one was kind of half domesticated,
Lisa,
obviously.
They're living in an asphalt jungle.
No, they're not. There's a huge field behind us. There's bushes all around.
Right. It's probably filled with rats and mice
and things.
Which
they probably eat.
So let them eat that. If they're feral,
they
if they're living in the wild, let them be wild.
But I didn't start the feeding. But once you've begun that, you really can't stop.
Oh, for 10 years? I can guarantee you this. You're going on vacation. It can stop.
I have other people.
I'll stop them, too.
You don't know who they are.
Listen, here's the thing about your feral cats. I know
handled,
you think,
one way or another, this is getting handled.
Oh, yes, that's what
Lisa
I'm saying.
Way.
That's
my not your
you
way,
think
my
this
way.
This is some adorable thing, and they're sweet animals, and they're eating your food and stuff. What about the vermin and the fleas and the flea infestations we get
this
in the building?
This building is
infested
with fleas.
Why do you think it's the
fleas?
Cats?
Oh,
people
I don't
bring
know.
Dogs here.
You?
Yes, which does not have
so
fleas.
So it's either you. It's either your dog or your feral cats. You're bringing
fleas
in. My dog
does not have fleas.
All right, then it's the cats.
You're bringing disease and
they don't
pestilence
come in.
And,
well,
how
is
we
this
know?
Happening?
How do we know? How do we know they don't come in?
They're afraid of people. They don't come in.
Maybe at night they do.
No, they don't.
Maybe
the fleas jump off and wait for somebody to open the door, and they run through.
I don't
think
that's
maybe they're
how
doing
that works.
An overnight shift that we don't know.
That's true. That could be.
Maybe they're running the board for Rodney.
Maybe someone who works here just has fleas.
What kind of quality of life do you think these cats are having?
I think they're fine.
Really?
Yes. If you talk to people, if you talk to organizations that work with feral cats, they will tell you that this is the most humane way to handle it. Get them fixed. Make sure they have food and water, and they fare very well.
First, if there was an organization dealing with feral cats, I would tell those people, you're wasting your time. Go find something else to do.
Well, what they're trying to do is make sure they all get fixed so that they don't reproduce. Because obviously everybody wants this
problem. Why don't they want them to reproduce?
Because you don't want wild cats running around.
Right. Exactly our point. We don't want wild cats running around.
That's our point. You're getting them fixed so that they don't have more cats that are doing exactly what these cats are doing that you're feeding.
And we don't want these cats to do it.
But these cats aren't doing it.
Well,
they're fixed.
We've got the final solution.
No. That's very Germany of you. I think
Your heart's in the right place.
Right.
We understand.
You're a good person.
No, it doesn't hurt you that I feed the cats.
Your heart's in the right place.
If Chip doesn't want to do it, I have other people.
It needs to end after
a
decade.
The cats
basically spit venom at me. They spit venom.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that happens.
You know what it's
why
like when you go to your car?
They know you hate them.
Do you remember The End of the Birds by Alfred Hitchcock? When you're trying to get your car and they're just there and they stare at you and they're hanging from the phone lines and they're on top of the roof of the building.
You have
staring
to time your run.
You.
You have to make sure that there's a distraction someplace. And
I carry mice now. I lob a mouse on the other side of the parking
lot. Like a grenade?
To distract them, and then I just haul ass to my car. I crawl in through the window. Because you can't open the door because the cats will come in to the car.
So
the
long-term plan for you, Lisa, is just eventually this batch of cats who have been fixed will die out and the problem will solve itself.
But what a great life they've had, huh?
They seem fine, Kevin. What is it that they're missing?
Homes.
They have food
homes,
and water.
Places to sleep.
They have places to sleep.
Yeah. Out in the,
underneath
basic
cars.
Not every cat is domesticated.
Right.
I mean,
but so
they're
why?
Fine. Unlike dogs, cats have been wild and around forever. I mean, dogs we've domesticated. We don't want them running around like this. But cats, they're okay.
But we
it's
don't want them to
my
reproduce.
Preference, but I'm not going to kill them because it's not my
I'm
preference.
Not going to kill them either. I'm just going to make sure they're not fed.
They'll go somewhere
really?
Else. They'll look for food
they'll
somewhere,
go somewhere
else.
They'll find another sucker someplace
they're
else.
They're wild. They'll go hunting and they'll go elsewhere.
But we don't know that's true.
Well, let's try it. Let's see what happens.
Cat rescue organizations told me that if they've been fed for a number of years, to stop feeding them and giving them water is really cruel. That's why I started feeding them.
But it's been 10
because
years.
Because you wanted to set something up
they
where it could
potentially be cruel. They didn't have a timeline for it.
We need somebody that runs a cat shelter to call us and tell
absolutely.
Us what to do.
Absolutely.
Because... really? I mean...
who's enough.
Talk to a cat shelter.
Please. Enough.
Enough. But weren't you setting them up for a problem then when you started feeding them and giving them water?
They'd already been fed and given water.
By whom?
Before I came along.
Another bad person.
Jesus?
A certain somebody who fixes things around here.
The... yeah. Oh, uh-huh. No. Oh, Scott Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of them. I don't know who
he's
else.
He's the guy Bean gave a kidney to.
Uh-huh.
So this is Bean's
we're getting
fault.
That decision.
This is Bean's fault.
All comes back on Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Fault.
Nice work,
that's
Bean.
Right, Bean.
Hey!
Bean sucks!
Bean sucks!
Bean!
Drum writes in, you're blaming the cats for the flea problem there at K-Rock and Beer Mug works there?
No. Yeah.
Actually, I haven't heard from Beer Mug lately, so I apologize in advance if something happened to him and this joke is in poor taste. Now, Beer Mug's just on vacation, unfortunately.
Sadly,
he'll be back on
fine.
Monday.
Yeah. We can't let that happen, too, can we?
It's been a pretty sweet spirit in here, hasn't
nice?
It?
Nice.
Yeah,
it's been great.
It's been relaxing and easygoing, and everyone seems to have a smile on their face.
And Chip's made mistakes.
Yeah, but she's quiet about it and
she's
apologetic.
She's not Beer Mug.
Yeah, right. She doesn't go into a funk and pout
about
it.
It wasn't me. I didn't do that.
I could if you guys want me to.
No, we'd rather you didn't.
Yeah.
It's been a nice distraction.
Kevin just loves being able to set his sandwich down and turn his back on it and not have to worry about
for
it.
For half what's a second.
Kevin's got an entire tub of chocolate chip muffins here.
I don't know that we need to.
That only he is eating, and they're still in there. Beer Mug hasn't
they're
finished
safe.
Yet.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Meacher on a Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Do you know the name Axel Despilier?
No. Is that a person, a thing, a sickness?
It is a girl.
Girl?
17 years old, who had a better trip to Brazil for the World Cup than Kevin did. She went to see her home country of Belgium.
Yes.
And this is the picture of her cheering in the stands.
Oh, yeah, I saw her.
Her picture has been everywhere. She is a lovely 17-year-old blonde with with horns on her head. I don't know what that signifies. I don't know the name of her team.
I think they're the Red Devils or Running Devils something. I think
she's got pom-poms. And so anyway, they kept cutting to her in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And out of it, she got a modeling gig with L'Oreal. Because that's how hot she is.
You're kidding.
Just from showing up at a sporting event.
Just by being in the crowd.
How about that?
She filmed a video for L'Oreal that's being used in a viral marketing campaign. Now, apparently L'Oreal had some bigger plans for her, but I read this morning that they have said that this will probably just be a one-off with her. Because there's a big controversy of some postings on Facebook that Axel posted of her standing over a gazelle corpse with a rifle talking about how much she loves to hunt and kill animals.
Okay. Whoa. Let's get to know that person first.
Maybe we should do a little vetting before we sign our models.
That's funny.
So people were upset, and then they said, oh, well, her contract has been completed for the one thing we were going to use her for, so keep buying those cosmetics that we test in the eyes of bunnies.
You know, that's how Pam Anderson was discovered, too.
There was?
She was in an audience at a baseball game or something?
No, it was an Ottawa, I think it was a Canadian football game.
Football, that's right. Canadian football, yeah. She was in the crowd. They showed her a couple times in the crowd, and she got tracked down and ended up becoming a model and an actress based on that.
Yeah, she became a Labatt's Blue girl or something like that. One of those kind of deals.
There were a lot of girls down there that should get contracts.
Yeah, there were some pretty girls in that crowd. I'll tell you. Maybe you'll get a contract from your picture, Kevin.
I'm guessing that's not
maybe some
happen.
Vodka company will hire you as a spokesperson.
Probably not.
You too can lay in a pool of your own sick on the front lawn of a hotel if you drink.
Hey, I didn't throw
this.
Up. I didn't throw up.
I thought I was going to. No, that's why I slept in grass.
I did sleep in the grass.
You were sleeping one of Lisa's feral cats, basically.
The sun did come up, and then I went to my hotel room.
I'd also like to suggest that the new Kevining photo of Kevin asleep on the plane could be used on some gay porn boxes, too.
They could.
Come on.
Or for a mouthwash, perhaps.
Sure.
Get that dry, not-so-fresh feeling in your mouth.
Guys, I was so sick.
Try new Listerine. You're sick, all right.
Yeah. It's not flattering.
Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, off again. Off again.
Oh, okay.
How is that not its permanent status?
It's crazy. They get together for a couple weeks, and they go to some Bible study classes together, and then the next thing you know, boom, they're on the outs. Bieber was seen spending quality time with a young model named Giovanna Ventura. Took her out to Chick-fil-A in his Cougar print Audi this week. He's got an Audi.
Okay.
That is painted Cougar print. Familiar with the I guess it would be leopard. I guess more leopard than Cougar, right? Leopard print. A leopard print Audi. He drove
so
the Chick-fil-A
kind of
in.
Keep it on the download. Nobody knows who I am.
He wants to stay below the radar.
And then he took that car to a Chick-fil-A?
Yeah. Well, he only takes his days to the finest places.
I like Chick-fil-A, but...
What girl, in her right mind, I don't care who he is, Justin Bieber or anybody, could date a guy who's got a leopard print car?
Yeah, really.
Unless you're a superhero named Leopard Man, you shouldn't have a car that's decorated with leopard spots.
There's really no bigger look at me in the world than that.
That's got to be a deal breaker, right?
I would think, yeah.
We should do a phone topic someday. What was the biggest deal breaker for people who are dating. Like, this was the thing.
Biggest or smallest or... This is a big one. This is a huge slap in the face.
This is the thing I could not get over. I like this guy, but there was this one big glaring thing in his life that I just couldn't get past.
Remember Jim Jeffries and The Racist?
Yeah. For example, that would be a pretty big deal. Everything else was fine, but he drove a Cougar print Audi, I would think, would have to come up at some point. Douchebag. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Rosenbaum is 42 years old. Justin Chambers turns 44. John Henson, my buddy over there, Wipeout, turns 47 years old today. Lisa Rinna is 51. Apparently, she's one of the new Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's her new gig. And Richie Sambora, of course, guitarist for many years with John Bon Jovi. He is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next week, by the way, is already shaping up to look great here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski is going to be joining us next week.
All right.
How about Rise Against Tim, lead singer of the band, is going to be talking about their new album when it comes out on Tuesday. Actress Diane Kruger on the program, Adam Carolla, funny man Eddie Ift. Next week, Judy Greer and Nat Faxon, both of whom are hilarious on that new FX show, Married. And a little gentleman on Friday, Kevin, that I think you may know by the name of Weird Al Yankovic.
Yay!
Bean is 100% serious when he says that Weird Al is, do you say the greatest or in top three?
He's the best human of all time
ever. Best human of all time ever.
And I don't think there's any question about that, obviously. I'm not the only one who feels that
way. Well, I think you're the only one that feels like, out of all possible people, he's at the number one spot. Like, a lot of people might put him in their top 10.
He is twice Jesus. Weird Al.
He's not twice Jesus.
And if he doesn't play the Super Bowl halftime show at some point, then I don't want to live in this country anymore. That may be the tipping point to get me to move out of the country. How about that?
Come on, Al. Ignore it.
Next week's going to be great here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Can't vouch for the rest of today. But I will tell you this. Pam Anderson is back in the news because she's getting divorced again. You know, she's been married 4 times, and she's terrible at it.
Yeah.
She was married to Tommy Lee in 1995, after knowing him for only 4 days. Now, that marriage did actually last, maybe her longest ever. They were married for 3 years.
Okay.
And Tommy Lee. They did have an on-again, off-again relationship for some time after that, though. She got married to Kid Rock in 2006. Remember that, by the way, when Pam Anderson was married to Kid Rock?
For just a hot minute, just one
Four
second.
Months.
4 months.
4 months they were married. She married Rick Solomon in 2007. I had forgotten this aspect of the story. She was at the time working as, again, we're talking about Pam Anderson now, if you missed that. She
Pam
was
Anderson?
As a magician's assistant in a stage act at Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true.
After the 7 p.m. show, she left to marry Rick Solomon during her 90-minute break, was back in time for the 10 p.m. performance. That marriage was annulled on the grounds of fraud 2 months later. Now, does anyone remember what the circumstances were of the fraud?
I don't
know.
No.
I don't either. Then they found their way back to one another. That was back in 2007. In 2013, it was revealed that they had continued to date, and then they ended up getting spotted on vacation later that year and then getting married. Well, now they have ended their marriage. So she is divorcing him for the second time. She filed on July 3rd, citing irreconcilable differences.
A, at what point do you say to yourself, I'm not good at this?
Yeah.
I've tried marriage.
Right.
What was it? 4 times in her case?
Yes, 4 times.
All have failed. So maybe it's partially me. Maybe I should just date people.
Yeah. What's the common denominator in all of those failed relationships? What's the one thing that is the through line? And it's me, Pam Anderson. But
now we're not slamming her, but here's our question.
At all. Not
you
at all.
Divorced a person and you did that for a reason.
Right.
Then you ended up remarrying them. That's who we want to talk to.
Yes.
1-800-520-1067. You got married, you got divorced, you got married.
Let me tell you about a couple of other same celebrities, person. By the way, who have gone through this same thing. Our friend Larry King. You talk about being bad at being married. He's been married 8 times to 7 women. The one that he married twice, by the way, was a Playboy bunny. Did you know that?
I did not.
No.
How does Larry King get a Playboy bunny?
Well, she was a Playboy bunny in 1961.
Oh, all right.
It doesn't say what year they got married the first time, but they got remarried in 1967. So this is going back a few years. They divorced for the second time in 1972. So he did marry the same woman twice. A couple other people on the list that I had forgotten about, by the way. Travis Barker and Shauna Mochler are people who were married twice.
Oh, they got married twice.
It says here that that they got divorced back in 2008, bashed each other in the press for several months following the split, but somehow worked it all out. And then after the plane crash that Travis was in 2009, they got back together and reconciled.
Wow.
That did not last, though. They ended up divorcing again, so that didn't work out. How about this one? Again, we're taking your calls. If you married someone you had previously divorced, at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, I know this one you remember, and this was so shocking to us at the time. Of all the people in the world, for Eminem to marry again,
yeah,
Kim.
Oh, right. I mean, he was...
That was his first wife that he wrote many, many songs about. He would bring out a blow-up doll on stage that looked like Kim, and he would call her Kim, and he would stab it with a knife and stuff. And the songs that he wrote were just...
She sued him over
so
defamation
harsh.
After he kept writing all those songs about killing her and everything like that. But they were high school sweethearts. They got married in 1999. They divorced in 2001, and then it was just misery after that. But somehow they remarried in 2006, but that did not last. And they got divorced again, but have remained civil this time around. So
do you think
they're getting along?
Do you think that people are just they're just hopeful endlessly? I mean, do you think? Because for the most part, you look at statistics, you go marriage is about 50% end in divorce. All right, mm-hmm. So that's a horrible way to begin.
Right.
Then you make that pledge in front of God and all of your friends. Or whatever you believe. And then that goes south. Then you make the pledge again, then that goes south. Then you make the pledge again, and that goes south. At some point, don't you stop making the pledge?
I would think, but yeah, I think they're just really hopeful people, romantic people. But when you marry the same person again, I think sometimes they have that crazy connection with that person.
Right.
That's just super hard to let go.
Well, and sometimes it's a love of your life.
Yeah.
That person, and you're right. You're romantic and idealize that, and you want to have a happy ending. But I also think that there were a lot of good qualities that led you to marry that person in the first place. And maybe what you hope has happened is now we've worked out whatever the problem was that we couldn't get past the first time around. We're older, we're more mature, we have our eyes open going in. We know what the pitfalls are. Now we can make it work. I think that's what's going on here.
And then you don't.
And then you don't. Oftentimes you don't. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one real quick before the break. We got some great calls coming in. Let's start with Red, who's on line one, and she joins us up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Red.
Hello. How are you? Hi, Lisa.
Hello there.
You married the same person twice?
Yes, I did.
Tell us how that happened.
I was up in Deja, apparently, twice.
Okay.
So, we got married. I have to say, he was my best friend, though. Got married, didn't have kids.
Right.
And then
how long did it last the first time?
First time, almost 2 years.
All right. And in one sentence, what caused the breakdown of that marriage?
He was a pendejo.
Yeah. You like that word.
Okay. Good. All right. So it was all him, according to Red. And then how long after that did you guys marry again?
I think it was maybe about 1 or 2 years after that we got married again.
Now, was there any, did you think to yourself, maybe this is a bad idea?
Yeah, I did. But by this time, on the break, we actually had 2 more kids.
Oh, wow. You make a lot of good decisions.
Yeah.
You're the Yoda of making decisions.
You really are.
Well done.
Red, stop what you're doing.
I know.
Okay.
I did.
Thank you for the call, my dear. 1-800-520-1067. Stan, you hang on, and Sarah and Johanna and Ray. Oh, wow. This is good. We're bringing the pain today, aren't
we? Yes, we are.
Yeah. All right. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Hmm.
Talking about marrying the same person twice here on the Kevin and Bean Show, getting right back to your phone calls. This all got started because Pam Anderson recently divorced for the second time. Her boyfriend, then husband, then estranged husband, then boyfriend, then husband, now estranged husband again, Rick Solomon. You know who else did that, you guys? Was Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They were married for 6 months back in 1976, and then they got married for 7 years in 1989. So that was a long time on-again-off-again relationship. Where do you want to go first here?
Let's start with Joanna from Long Beach. Hi, Joanna.
Good morning.
You got married to who and for how long?
Okay. I met him at 16, married at 19, okay. Divorced at 23.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And we're back together.
Back together now, meaning yes. Heading for the altar?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
All right. What changed between the time you got divorced and the time now that you're thinking of remarrying him?
We grew up.
Everything?
Both
yeah.
of us. Yeah.
So you were 16. Yeah. You got married at 19. You were 23. Yeah. Now, how old? Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 28 now.
28. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, this has been – so this is the love of your life that you're hoping to have a happy ending for.
Yes, because everything that I want, I already have.
Joanna, will you call us next week after the divorce?
can I say he's listening? So I just want to say, hey, Luis, you have my heart.
All right.
Nice. Very nice. Yep. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Ray. He's up next down in Anaheim. He's on line 6. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What happened, dude?
What happened?
Yep.
Well, it was all my fault. That's what I've been trained to say.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, first time around, we got married. I was 24. Actually, I ended up calling her because it's always very difficult to do the math, right? People ask us how long we've been married.
Right.
So we got married, had a beautiful little girl. We divorced and then got remarried again.
Okay.
And had a little beautiful baby boy. So,
does anyone ever have kids that aren't beautiful, by the way?
No.
No,
I think.
All right. So, all told, how many years have you guys been married between the two marriages?
Oh, that's a great question. That's what I was trying to.
Yeah.
Like doing taxes. I'm not sure. I got to carry the one, do all that.
We don't care that much. But is it working out now?
I want to say I just completed 10 years with my beautiful wife, Carol.
Oh, she's beautiful, too. Okay, good.
Everybody's beautiful.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. It's weird because I see so many ugly kids in the world, but anytime you talk to a parent, they talk about their beautiful kids. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. All right, let's go to Sarah. She's up next, South Pasadena, line 4. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hi, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So you've been hearing the stories about people like you who married the same person twice. Tell us how did you make it work the second time, or didn't you?
Okay, so it didn't work the second time, but we are still friends, and we decided that we liked each other better divorced.
All right, so you got married when you were what age?
Okay, we were 21.
21, okay.
Yeah.
And how long did that last?
That lasted for a couple, well, we tried to make it last for a couple of years. It was over probably after our son was born. At 22.
Okay, that's good. The best time for parents to split up. Good. Okay.
We hung on. And then we divorced. We almost married separate people.
Uh-huh.
And then he convinced me to marry him again. And we just both decided, you know what, we like it better being apart.
So now then you got divorced again. So you married the same guy twice and divorced the same guy twice.
Yes.
Okay.
And we like it better this way.
Yeah. Well, at least you've learned that lesson, so you're not tempted to marry him for a third time.
Yes.
But
yes,
call us next
true.
Week when you do.
No, I won't.
Because we'd like to talk to you. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mary. Hi there.
Hi. Okay. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
I love you guys. Okay. So I married my high school sweetheart in 2004, okay. And we both had severe alcohol problems.
Okay.
And we had a train wreck, and we married, we divorced in 2006. I got sober in 2008, and then last year we just happened to see each other in San Diego, and we both realized that we were sober, and we said, well, that was our problem, right? So let's go to Vegas and get married and work this out. And we went to Vegas, got married, and then for 3 months we lived together, and we realized, no, that wasn't the problem.
Really? Oh, so then you ended up divorcing him again?
Yeah, so then we divorced
again.
And, we're not friends because he's a
pendejo.
But I'm not upset about it because that's sort of was always something that I was like, well, did I ruin the marriage because of my drinking? Or
right.
Did it ruin
so you tried, you tried so. It twice just to make sure.
Yeah, once sober, yeah. Once drunk. Yeah, and now you know. That's
yeah.
What you know, the question, and this will have to be our last call, but the question we should have asked everybody, so I'll ask you, is what was the reaction like from friends and family when you said, hey, remember that guy I divorced? We're getting married again. Did everyone try to talk you out of it?
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, my mom was close to having an intervention because, you know, when we were together, we, you know, we were a wreck. And so my mom thought that it would just bring up old things. And, you know, so it was more about trying to convince her that, no, we were both sober and we wouldn't do that. And so that was my family. My friends were actually more curious than I was as to how it would last because, yeah, you know, we were always out partying and we never really spent time on the relationship. So,
right.
they actually asked us more questions about, like, you know, what does he do during the day?
Was your mom happy when she found out that you divorced again?
She was happy that I didn't start drinking again. Like, that was her big worry, was that
sure,
she just didn't want me to start it up again. But yeah, she was definitely happy. She was really, I'm dating a doctor right now, and she's really excited about that.
Sure.
Is he a rehab doctor?
Really happy.
She's a rehab doctor. You could save a lot of money.
That'd be ideal, right?
Oh, no, it's not a rehab doctor.
But, thanks, Mary. Good luck to you, all right?
Thank you, Mary. Why is Donald Sterling still making our lives miserable? Why has he not gone away?
He just won't.
More to the point, as Ralph Garman asked yesterday, why isn't this trial on TV? Hello, CNN. Hello, C-SPAN. Hello, somebody, right?
I agree. This sounds awesome.
Now, Donald Sterling, of course, the embattled owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, he and his wife, and the NBA wants him to sell because he's a racist pig and a jackass. So right now what they're in court about is they're trying to decide whether it was legal for Donald Sterling's wife to remove him from the trust so that she could sell the team to Steve Ballmer. That's what's in contention right now, here. Is did she have the right to do that, and what were her reasons for doing that? I think she's suggesting that it was his mental incapacity, right?
But yes. That is what happened. She already did sell the team, right?
That's right.
And now
she cut him out of the trust and sold the team, and he's fighting that. He says, make no mistake, I will never, ever sell this team. Until I die, I will be suing the NBA. That's what he said in court this week. And it's just been so crazy to see the interaction that he has had with his wife. By the way, they're still married, but they've been separated for years. Before he gets on the stand, he's stroking her hand and he's saying, I love you. And he's talking about how beautiful she is and how great she is. And then he gets up on the stand. He's like, Shelly, how could you lie? Get away from me, you pig.
He didn't call her a pig. In court, he called her a pig.
It's the crazy thing. And Donald Sterling, I mean, he has a very complicated relationship with the Clippers because there are lots of Clippers fans, many of whom are listening to this program right now, who love that team so much but hate Donald Sterling, their owner, who has been so terrible for so long. Remember when he was on Anderson Cooper not that long ago and he was talking about how, no, we've got it all wrong. The Clippers and their fans love him.
The media, it's all the media pushing it.
Honestly, you really believe that?
I believe it 100%. I believe it 100%. People call me by the thousands.
Nope.
And give me support.
You don't think
don't say I should have said that.
You don't think the players don't like you? When the Clippers, when your team...
Why wouldn't they like me when I'm respectful?
Why wouldn't they like me?
Why wouldn't they? That's a great question.
And the phones are ringing off the hook with support from Clippers fans. Anyway, I just feel like it's sad because here we've got a crazy guy who's like 83 years old with his jet black dyed hair and his sunglasses on his head up there just making nonsense from the stand. But we thought we could sort this whole thing out with Donald Sterling himself, and we've got him on the phone right now so we can figure out what's really going on with Mr. Sterling. Hi, Donald. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. Seems like court's not been going very well for you.
No, it's going great. The Clippers fans love me, and things are going well in court, and I think I'm going to be a Clippers owner forever.
Did you call your wife, Shelly, a pig?
Yes.
That happened.
She is a lying, lying pig.
Okay.
She says that I'm mentally incapacitated.
She says you have Alzheimer's, right?
Well, that's not true.
Well, they brought doctors.
Her dearly. She's a lovely woman.
Oh,
you just said she's a pig.
She's a wonderful, wonderful girl, but she's just not smart and doesn't know about business.
She says he's been getting more forgetful. He's been slurring his words. He gets agitated a lot. He gets mad for no.
I do not get agitated.
I'm just telling you what she said.
I am not agitated. I do not slur words.
Kevin, how could you be on the phone when you're also here in the room with me?
Dare you?
You also told lawyers that your wife would never even read the trusted question. She doesn't know business. The trust is complicated.
She doesn't even know how to read.
Well, I'm sure she knows how to read.
She doesn't. Yeah. She's an ignorant pig. She's a wonderful woman. I love her. And she's special. Needs woman.
Your testimony seems to be extremely combative with the attorney.
It is not combative. I am not a combative person. I do not get agitated, and I do not slur words.
Just seems like you've been mocking their questions and talking about how I hope you improve and what is this line of questioning and you don't know what you're talking about.
The lawyers are idiots.
The lawyers are idiots.
But your lawyer, you said some of these things to.
Yes. He is a dumb-ass lawyer.
He's your attorney that you hired to represent you.
He's a pig and a dummy and an idiot. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a fine man. And I like him. He's an excellent lawyer.
Right.
But he is stupid and a pig and knows nothing of the law.
Okay. I don't know much about Alzheimer's, but you've got it, Donald. I mean, you don't remember what you said 15 seconds ago.
That is ridiculous. I remember what I said 15 seconds ago.
So what are you going to do if the way it looks like is going to happen is that you are going to lose control of the team? It was legal that you were removed.
I will never, ever lose control of the Clippers. So, I will be the Clippers owner till the day I die. And
no.
I will never stop suing the NBA.
Right, that's possible, but they can legally take the team away, as Shelly has sold it for $2 billion.
Not allowed at Staples Center. You can't even show up. You can't go to the games. You can't do anything. You can't have any impact whatsoever on the operations of the club.
I will not be stopped.
They'll stop you at the door.
I will never be stopped. And if they try to take the team away from me, I will buy a new basketball team.
NBA is telling you that you can't be an owner.
I'm already looking to buy a team. I've heard there's a team called the Clippers that's up for sale, and I think it would be a great team to own. I'd like to own that team, the Clippers.
That's the team
that they're fighting over right now that they've already sold
ridiculous.
To someone else.
I would know if I owned a basketball team.
And your wife, she's good or bad? Where
she's
are we on
lovely,
her?
Lovely, lovely woman who's smart
good.
And caring.
Excellent.
And also is a pig and a horrible woman who should be taken outside and doused with some sort of chemical.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
I love her so much.
Right. It sounds like it.
That anyone to say anything bad about her should be stripped of their basketball team.
That's what we're trying to accomplish here. All right. Then we can finally
agree
on
the same page.
All right. Thanks, Donald.
Hello. Who am I talking to?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
UFC middleweight champion Chris All-American Weidman joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Talk about his spectacular win at UFC 175 last weekend. That's on the way. Right now, Ralph is here with his Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Monty Python currently performing a series of sold-out shows in the U.K., our national treasure, of course, over there in England. And they recently took a nationwide poll to see what were the favorite Monty Python sketches of all time, which I thought was pretty interesting. By the way, I got a chance to see this in the O2 Arena in London when I was over there in the UK, and I tell you, it's a blast. They're going to be doing a worldwide simulcast satellite of the final show on July the 20th, and I think it's in theaters everywhere. I think there's theaters here in North America it's going to happen.
Oh, no
well,
kidding. So. This is one of those one-night-only events that they do from time to time
right.
that
like
I always see advertised, but I don't know anyone who's ever been to one.
Yeah, they do it with a lot of cultural events, theater and operas and sometimes...
Concerts, sometimes?
Concerts, yeah, or also like seminars. They'll have people speaking and that kind of stuff. But Python's doing it for their last show on July the 20th. Here are the top 10 Monty Python sketches of all time, according to the Brits. Number 10... The killer joke. That is a great one. where the takes place during World War II, and the Allied forces come up with a joke so deadly that they say it to the Germans, and the Germans die on the battlefield.
I have not seen that.
That sounds so funny that you laugh yourself to death. And they have English scientists working on it one word at a time, because if you see three words, you go into the hospital immediately. It's a great sketch. The restaurant sketch with the Dirty Fork was number 9. The fish slapping dance, which is just ridiculous but is hilarious. Number 8. Nudge, nudge. Say no more. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. Wink's as good as a blind bat. Nudge, know what I mean? Number 7. The four old Yorkshiremen talking about how hard their lives were when they were kids. My father used to wake up in the morning, feed me a dry of lump poison, beat me to death, and send me to work in the mines. Beat to death. We dreamed about being beaten to death. Great sketch. Spam, number 5. Spam, 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 spam. The Spanish Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. The Ministry of Silly Walks, 3rd. Which, sadly, John Cleese can't do anymore because his hip would break.
Oh,
it's not good. Yeah. Ralph, when are you going to do your one-man tribute to Monty Python
do
on stage?
All the sketches?
It'd be awesome.
The Lumberjack song is number 2.
I'm
a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
Can I guess?
Down trees, I press wildflowers, I like to wear a bra.
Can I guess what number 1 is? I have a guess, a real guess.
You have a guess for the number 1 Monty Python sketch of all time.
Does that surprise you?
It stuns me.
I'm not quite dead yet.
That was from a Monty Python movie.
not a sketch.
Not a sketch at all.
That's, I've got a guess as
Monty
well.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But
I was happy with that.
I'm happy that you have something tangentially related to Monty Python. I'm stunned. I thought you were going to say, I liked it when they crossed the streams and the giant marshmallow creature came down the street. I thought that's what you were going to say.
All right. I have a guess, Ralph, a serious guess, and I may not have been paying attention, so forgive me if you've already mentioned this in the previous time, but is it the Dead Parrot sketch?
It is the Dead Parrot
sketch. Dead Parrot!
Number 1, the funniest Monty Python sketch of all time. It is effing brilliant, and they do it live on the show, but it's John Cleese returning a parrot to a pet shop because it was, in fact, dead when it was sold to him. The only reason it was still in the pouch when I bought it is because you nailed it there. It's very funny. Well, Lisa's already offended.
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
No, it's funny.
Beautiful
Lisa
plumage.
Would still try to feed it, though, right?
That's right. It's Norwegian blue. Beautiful plumage. I don't care about the bleeding plumage. It's dead. Funny sketch.
Hey, are they done after this? Is this it?
This is it. This is the victory lap.
And when they say this is it?
This is it.
They mean this is it.
I mean, this is it. This is their final farewell. Geez, look, they're all in their 70s. And
sort of has to be there.
Yeah, they've already lost one member. And as they say, the title of the show is Monty Python Live Mostly. One down, 5 to go. So I think they get the sense that maybe this is their last go.
I'll bite your leg.
Nope, that was also from Holy Grail.
Oh,
another.
I say that because you saw them and they're still great.
Yes.
And they're still so funny. And you can see that from the press conferences. Doesn't it seem like they could do a TV show or a special or something?
I don't know. That would require, I think, them
working
and developing new material and stuff. And it's fun to watch them do their greatest hits. But I don't think it's necessarily funny to see old men be silly and sort of goofy and stuff.
If you didn't already love it.
Yeah, if you didn't already love it, I think you'd be safe. This is kind of disturbing and a little sad to see these old men sort of be silly. But it's funny when you know the stuff. So.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Usually it's a Friday, but Saturday night at 8 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing something a little different. We are performing our comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, live on stage. We've done this once before with the first issue, and people seem to dig it a lot. So we're doing it again Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
Yes!
Come on down. Come on down to the show. We do it with the sound effects and music, and we pull people out of the audience to play other roles on the, from the thing. And then everybody gets an autographed copy of the comic book. So it's
yes!
Good time. Thank you. Wow, kids are excited about something for once.
And no way. Get real.
And Kevin had really porn music for some reason.
I don't know what that was about.
No one does, least of all Kevin.
I was sitting here really, really trying hard to figure out what the tie-in was.
I was reaching for another button, and that one is the one that got my attention.
Twice.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden move.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Rosenbaum is 42 years old. Justin Chambers, the actor, is 44. John Hanson, host of Wipeout. And at one time, The Soup. He's
creator of The Muppets.
47. No, it was Jim Hanson.
No.
Lisa Rinna is 51 years old. Her lips are 3. And G. Sambora, legendary rock and roll guitarist, 55 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The cake. LeBron's going to Cleveland. LeBron's going to Cleveland. LeBron's going
to
Cleveland.
Let's all go to Cleveland, guys. LeBron's going to Cleveland. It's happening now.
LeBron James, Cleveland. Cleveland, LeBron James. Oh, my God.
The guy, Jared, our friend who works the reception desk of the front lobby here at K-Rock,
as I was walking past him, he said, it's very funny, he said, this has to be the first time ever in the history of America that someone chose Cleveland over South Beach.
That's true.
That's absolutely true. Why would you go there when you had that?
It's a terrible choice.
It's a horrible choice.
Yeah.
Actually, I like Cleveland. It's kind of a fun city.
I agree, by the way.
I was only there once. I went for the Hall of Fame game for Canton, Ohio, the NFL football Hall of Fame game they have at the beginning of the season, the preseason, before the regular season starts.
So you were there in the fall. So the weather wasn't too bad.
Yeah, so I went there, but we stayed in Cleveland to be close because we didn't want to stay in a motel outside of Canton. So we just stayed in Cleveland, and we spent a couple days there partying and meeting the people. And I'll tell you, it's a fun place. Saw the Rock and Roll Museum and did all that.
Is it South Beach?
It is not South Beach, no, sir. That is one thing it is not.
All right.
Well, that's the big news just breaking here in the past few minutes. LeBron going back to Cleveland. He says he always anticipated he would end his career in Cleveland. He just didn't know when. So he seems real happy to be going back. All right. As Money pointed out earlier today, by the way, a lot of it seems to have to do with the age that his kids are and, you know, how he wants to raise them. So, you know, maybe that was, you know, personal considerations really did weigh into it more than just business.
Wants to raise them in a wasteland?
It's not a wasteland. This is a breakthrough. Ralph actually sticking up for the Midwest. Usually, Ralph is one of those, hey, that's the flyover states guys.
Well,
you know?
There's a bunch of dummies in the Midwest, don't get me wrong. But Cleveland is filled with very nice people, too.
Hey, there's a bunch of dummies in this room, man. Those are pretty much everywhere. Yes. Come on. Anyway, time for one final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What else is going on?
Good news. Good news. You can smell like Britney Spears.
Yeah!
Her eighth fragrance has just hit the store shelves.
She's had seven fragrances?
Yes.
Which fragrance is this? This isn't the bald-headed one, right?
This is...
I don't want to smell like bald-headed.
Fantasy Stage Edition. It's designed to represent the star's legendary stage presence. So it stinks. I guess. It comes in a snakeskin-wrapped bottle. Inspired by her legendary Slave for You performance with a live python. So now you can smell like Britney.
Smells like donkey ass.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Eight fragrances.
Really?
Huh. How different can they be that you need to collect all eight?
They're not different enough for that, but those...
Oh, leave Britney alone!
Yeah, leave Britney
alone. People who have successful fragrances make hundreds of millions of dollars.
What about Kevin and Bean Cologne? When's that coming out?
We are still trying to move the gravy, dude. We don't have time to
just slap a new label on it. Multi-purpose. Just a little dab of gravy behind each ear.
We have a Costco-sized warehouse full of gravy. We got to move that first.
Yeah, that was ill-conceived.
Yes, it was.
I think the Kevin and Bean gravy.
I believe that was Jimmy Kimmel's idea, for the record.
I think that was his parting shot to you guys
work.
Before he split. He set you up with some jars of gravy that, if I'm not mistaken, were not FDA approved or something.
Oh, well, that was it anyway. That was part of the problem.
It may not even have been gravy for what we know.
We're not positive what it was.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can't distribute food that you just put together without any kind of...
We know it was brown and it was liquid.
Yeah,
the only two distinguishing features we could tell for sure.
I wouldn't put it on my food. I know that much.
Kevin and Bean Cologne, I'm telling you.
Nobody wants to smell like us.
Smells like vodka and farm animals.
That's not a good mix.
Well, it is if you're a drunk farmer.
What the hell is that smell?
It's official. Rosie O'Donnell's heading back to The View.
That's just as big as LeBron going to Cleveland.
She's returning up. She said she always wanted to end her career on The View. She just didn't know when that would be. Now we just got to fill in the blanks. Who else is going to be sitting around her? Whoopi Goldberg will be there.
When you say fill in the blanks, you mean they have to fill in the blanks because you don't watch that show.
No, I do not.
Nor do I.
But speculation rages on. Daily Variety says Meghan McCain, daughter of Republican Senator John McCain, is a serious contender to join the show. She would take over the...
So they could have somebody to yell at?
The conservative voice on the show Elizabeth Hasselbeck used to have. I say bring back Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Let her and Rosie O'Donnell finally finish this once and for
all. There you go. Throw down.
Just give them each a baseball bat and just put them in a cage. Let's just finish this.
I like it.
Yeah, Meghan McCain's a good deal, by the way.
She is.
But she's reasonable, so I can't think...
Yeah,
I don't think she is reasonable. I don't think Rosie would argue
please.
With her as much. As,
please.
That's true. Rosie's completely unreasonable. She's unreasonable enough for everyone in the room, so she could pick a fight with anyone, I'm sure.
Meghan McCain seems to love cleavage photos, too, doesn't she?
She does she enjoy
does.
That.
Yeah.
You don't find a lot of the conservative women.
And I enjoy her cleavage
I enjoy
photos.
Those as well.
The TCAs are currently going on.
What's that?
It's the Press Critics Summer Tour, where the networks trot out their news for all these TV journalists. So we're getting
TV news. HBO announced the fifth and final season of Boardwalk Empire will start on Sunday, September the 7th. We'll get new Boardwalk Empire episodes, finally. Waiting for that.
Great show.
The final season of Glee is coming. It'll be just 13 episodes long. Originally, Fox was supposed to order 24 episodes, but even they, I think, are tired of Glee.
Let's end it.
They're just going to burn it off. Fox has announced their fall schedule in total as of yesterday. A new series called Utopia is on the schedule. This is a new reality show where five everyday Americans move to an undeveloped location with the challenge of creating their own civilization.
Okay.
Didn't they try this once already with kids? Didn't they force kids to live without grown-ups and to murder each other or something?
They gave them all guns. Didn't they have them in like a ghost town?
Hunger Games,
I think.
Hunger Games, yeah. They put them in a ghost town, Lisa, and said, go at it, kids. Whoever survives gets this bowl of Fruit Loops.
I think that ended early.
In fact, they it's funny, they shot that series in the same western ghost town we shot A Million Ways to Die in the West.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh. As you're driving up the long dirt road to get to this location, there's a little marker there that says, this was this place where kids brutalized each other for that show.
Why would they commemorate that at that location?
I can't imagine.
No one has fond memories of that.
Unless the producers put it there themselves, you know, as part of the show or something. I don't know, but I thought that was odd.
I sometimes, this won't surprise you guys that I think about this death question, but I sometimes think if we lost most of the world's population and we had a couple of hundred people left to kind of start civilization over from scratch.
You'd want Ralph and I to be the two leaders?
After some catastrophic event. First of all, I hope Weird Al survives. But second of all, do you think people of the 21st century are smart enough to do it all again, to start over and to build.
We have no idea how to
rebuild the infrastructure and everything.
I
don't think so either.
I think probably they would only because they had to. They wouldn't have any option of not doing it.
But what about the lack of motivation and ambition?
You'd be plenty motivated, though, if that was the scenario you were living in.
But could you redo everything that we've done?
I mean, I read a lot of history, and I'm constantly amazed that they were able to, you know, build the Empire State Building in 3 years, and now it takes us 10 years to put an extra lane on a highway. You know what I mean? And they were building skyscrapers in 3 years.
Well, maybe the lack of bureaucracy that would exist if there was some cataclysm.
And lawyers.
Maybe that would pave the way for just a little bit more innovation.
I'd like
and
to think we'd figure out a way to do
that. I just feel like 50 years ago you could take a random 1,000 people and have a better chance of one of them being able to figure out how to build a microwave than 1,000 people from today. I really do.
Well, that's possible.
It does seem like we've devolved into just like this soft, puffy bunch of consumers. We don't really do much anymore. I don't see a lot of people doing stuff.
No, you really don't.
We watch a lot of stuff. We watch and we absorb and we consume.
We eat.
We are the lilies of the field. Thanks, Bean. Thanks for bumming me out now.
Great. Good to bring us down.
Yeah. Well, I do know this. When they're culling those 1,000 people to restart civilization, no reason to put me in there.
Nope.
I know that.
Oh, no question.
I can't contribute. No. I know that.
Bean is a brain in a jar. That's all he is. Right next to Happy's balls. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Rosenbaum. You remember him as Lex Luthor from Smallville, 42 years old. Justin Chambers is 44. John Henson, host of Wipeout, turns 47 years old today. Lisa Rinna is 51. And Richie Sambora celebrates his 55th birthday. Wasn't he a longtime boyfriend of Heather Locklear? Didn't he have a thing for a long time?
That is correct.
He did a good job, that Richie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't forget Argentina-Germany World Cup game on Sunday.
Oh, enough already.
And then it's over.
Oh, our long national nightmare.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
Penis.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
How dare you?
Roll another one.
Damn, that girl's tight.
Just like the other one.
Lisa is irrelevant.
This one seems to be about.
She's a bitch.
And I need another hit.
On behalf of the Mother Standards Department, I, Gaylord Felcher, present you with the Employee of the Week Award. Let's give it up for this fucking bag of.
Roll another.
just needed some babes, man.
Just like the other one.
Shut up, you motherless whore.
This one seems to be about sex.
Honestly, just look at the cleavage.
I don't have another sense.
Hey, Lisa May, I want to put my wand in your Harry Potter.
That makes you a bad person.
Just passing around.
Breasts are amazing.
But the ones are dead joined, my friend.
Hey, Mookie, forget about it.
I'm just passing on down.
So, you're on your way out.
You tell me.
Sorry, tickets no longer available. That ship has sailed. The option is closed. The cookie is gone.
Thank you for the coffee. Let's not do this again.
That's me being real, baby girl. I'm up out of here. This is Big Snoopy D.O. Double Jizzle for Shizzle Dizzle. It's been real, baby girl. Holla.
I am walking out that door.
And I won't come back. Not even if you beg me. Who's with me?
This is the CBS Radio Network.